Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
How many of you guys are ready to go deeper? You know, as we were singing that, the Lord just kind of spoke to me and He said, it's time for my people to go deeper. You know, once you reach a certain level, you can't go back. Why would you want to? Once you reach a certain level, you can't go back. You got to go forward, right? It's time to go deeper. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Do you want me to pray right now? Before we start into this, we want to pray real quick for brother Wenzel's brother Will. He's in a coma in the hospital right now, and his kidneys are failing. A medically induced coma. His kidneys are failing, so I don't know what that is, but we're just going to pray for him right now. So let's just go to intercede for him. Father God, we just come to you right now, Father God, and we just intercede on behalf of our brother Will, Father God, as he is in the hospital right now. Father, you know what's going on. You know what he needs. Right now, this hour, Lord, let it be the time that it turned around, Father God. We speak healing to his kidneys in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Give the doctors wisdom, discernment, knowledge, Father God, in what is going on and what they need to do by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. Right now, God, at this time, in this hour, let it be the time that he turned around, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray for peace, comfort for the family. Father, we cast out all worry. We cast down all fear and anxiety in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you have no power nor authority over Will. We command you to get your hands off him right now in Jesus' name. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Starting in verse 3. So Jesus is telling them a parable here, and he says, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth, and when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now Jesus explains this, starting in verse 13, and he says to them, do you not know what this parable means? He says, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. When does Satan come? Immediately. And he takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and they so endure for a time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for that word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit from some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, this parable is recorded in the other Gospels, and I was looking at this, and the Lord said, you need to read the one in Mark. And I was like, okay, why? Why, God? Why do we want to mark? It's the one that records that Satan comes immediately. And when I was going through the book of Mark, there's some interesting things about the book of Mark. Book of Mark is a book of action. It tells what Jesus did, not necessarily what he said. This is only one of four parables recorded that Jesus said. Everything else is what Jesus did. It's a book of action. The word immediately is recorded 42 times in the book of Mark. It's a book of action. And so what God spoke to me is that the Lord told me that we are in a now season. And that was confirmation when Brother Birch was preaching to me, and he said, now faith. Faith is now, right? And God had spoken to me. He said, we are entering into a now season. God is going to do things immediately. He is going to do things now, immediately. And he gave me the Isaiah 43, right? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Now it shall spring forth. Immediately. Immediately. So we need to be ready. Because as God is doing something immediately, so is Satan. Satan is doing something immediately in this season. So on this weekend, folks, we had a lot of good seeds sown into us, did we not? We had words of faith sown into us. Some of you received a healing. Some of you spoke in other tongues. Some of you fell out under the power of the Holy Spirit. There was great seeds sown this weekend. Listen to me, folks. Anytime there is a great move of God in your life and powerful word sown, Satan is going to come when? Immediately. He comes immediately to try to steal that word that was sown in your life. We have to protect that seed. I'm going to show you something in Genesis. A lot of people don't see this. It's in Genesis chapter 8. That's the first book of your Bible. I know, right? Because I say it funnier. Okay, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again kill anything else, everything living as I have done. This is verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now this was God's covenant with Noah. Now we think of the rainbow as God's covenant, but this was his covenant, folks. This covenant is a covenant of seed time and harvest. It is a law, but it is God's covenant, so it cannot be broken. As long as we live, we are in a time of seed time and harvest. That means Galatians 6, chapter 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow to your flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap life everlasting. This is a law, like the law of gravity. How many know that gravity is a law? It's not a hypothesis. We're not out there floating around. It's a law. It keeps us on the earth. Gravity keeps us on the earth. Seed time and harvest is a law, folks. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Okay? So seeds of life and faith were sown into us this weekend. So we want to go back to Mark chapter 4, or if you're still there, right? So some of these people will not receive the word of God because Satan steals that seed. So some people don't even receive any words because Satan comes and steals that seed immediately. Some people will believe, but later will fall away because of worldly concerns and earthly pleasures. Some will believe, persevere, and produce fruit. Right? There's different types of people in this parable. So how can we be the kind of people that believe, persevere, and bear fruit? That's interesting. You should ask me, because I have the answer up here. So, you know, Jesus used parables to illustrate a point, and, you know, Jesus is creator of all things. All things were created by him and for him. And so Jesus, talking about sowing a seed, understands how seeds are grown, right? Well, I didn't really understand, so I looked it up today, and it's really interesting. And as we go through this, I was praying over it, and it was steps on how to cultivate a seed. And I was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. Let me look at this. And as I was going over it and praying over it, I was like, man, Jesus knew what he was talking about. This is some good stuff. That's funny. That's funny they should say that. Because all this natural things, right, they all have spiritual implications. Okay? So, we're gonna go through 9 steps on how to cultivate a seed. Okay? The first one is you have to determine when to plant seeds. Depending on your climate and plant variety, planting times may vary. Folks, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit in planting a seed. We have to listen to Him and rely on His timing when those seeds should be planted. See, we can step out in faith and totally miss the mark because we are not listening to God's timing. Because we want it when we want it. God may have spoken something to you, but you have to listen to Him and obey Him and step out when the timing is right. Listen to this. You can kill your faith by planting your seed before God's time. Now, Pastor Matt has shared the story of us when we stepped out in faith because God had told us that He had called us to plant a church. We knew this. And we started stepping out when we thought the timing was right. And how many of y'all know that every door was slammed in our face? He knows. Thank you, brother. Every door was slammed in our face. Now, we could have easily have said, well, this just must not be God's will. We're just going to go do something else. If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, it can kill your faith, okay? It can kill that seed. Not waiting on God's timing when to plant can kill our faith. We have got to listen and obey, okay? You have to. Seriously, folks, it can kill your faith if you try to step out when you know God has said something and it completely flops. Right? That's a faith killer. And then you're like, well, unless you're strong in the, if you're not strong in the faith, it can kill our faith, okay? Step number 2. You have to fill a tray with soil, sieving out the rocks. Ah? I was praying, I was like, oh man, that's good. See, without good soil, Satan will immediately steal that seed. We've got to get out the rocks. This means we have to let the Holy Spirit change us. We've got to get the sin out of our lives, people. You cannot expect God's best if you continue to live in your sin. Hello? Man, we got to get those rocks out. Now, I'm not talking about unintentional sins, because sometimes you just get angry and you know, oh, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that. But some of us are intentionally living in our sin, knowing that it's wrong. We got to get those rocks out, folks. We need good soil, and good soil is sieving it. Hello? Getting out the rocks. We got to get the rocks out. Listen now. Do not take the patience and mercy of God as a stamp of approval on our life. Say that again, I will. We cannot take the patience and mercy of God as a stamp of approval on our life. See, He will allow sin in our life for a time, but at some point, He is expecting you to get it out. Okay? Thank you, brother. We live under His mercy for a while, but at some time He says, listen, I've been dealing with you, I've been dealing with this for a long time, it's time to get that rock out. It's time to get that rock out. The third step, use your hand or a striking board to level and compact the soil. This is so that it's evenly dispersed. Evenly dispersed. This is what the Lord said. He says, you need to be a well-rounded person. And how are you a well-rounded person? You're firmly grounded on the Word of God. A well-rounded person is firmly grounded on the Word of God. The Word of God must saturate us. We can't believe only bits and pieces of it. We've got to accept the whole counsel of God. Being a well-rounded person. If you are not level, you are uneven and double-minded. Therefore, you're tossed to and fro and you believe anything that comes your way. We got to be level, pressed down. I don't know about y'all, but I want to believe the Word of God, not anything somebody just throws my way. Okay? But hello, how many of y'all know that this doesn't work? I don't know if y'all tried that in college or high school. You know, I'm going to sleep on my book and that doesn't work. You have got to open it and read it. Open it and read it. Folks, you cannot just come on a Sunday service, go to a Bible study once in a while and think you're going to be okay. The reading of the Word of God is an everyday discipline. It is an everyday discipline. And guess what? It speaks to you every day. And it will make you a well-rounded, level, even person. So that you're not tossed to and fro, up and down, all over the place. Right? We need to be well-grounded. We need to be level and compact, evenly dispersed. The fourth step. You have got to moisten the soil. Eh? Without water, your seeds will die. You got to moisten the soil. Without water, you will die in 3 days. Without the Holy Spirit, you will die spiritually. That'll preach, brother. I like it. We have to have the power and presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We must pay attention to what the Spirit wants and desires, and we must listen and obey. Folks, you know what this means? This means spending time in His presence. I know we don't do enough of this. This is not, oh, I'm praying on my way to work, or I'm praying on my treadmill, or I'm praying here, I'm, you know, oh, just, you know, constantly bombarding God with what you need. This is spending time in His presence. This is laying there saying, oh, Lord, I love you. I just want you. I just want you. It's what Pastor Raymond said. We don't want blessings, we want you. Now we say that, but do you really mean it? We don't want blessings. We should desire just to dwell in His presence. King David said, I desire to dwell in your presence all the days of my life. Right? Man, that and folks, this means planning your time around God time. Not trying to plan God into your day. You have got to set time to be alone with Him in His presence. And if you're not doing this, you will never fully get healed. You'll never fully get restored. You'll never fully get delivered. Because that's where it comes, folks, is spending time in His presence. I know this. How do I know it? Ask me how I know. Because I went through it. It is the only place to receive full healing is spending time in His presence. If we're just spouting off prayers to God, not allowing Him to minister to us, we're just telling Him what we need, you're going to be half whole. You will be. You'll be half whole. We have got to spend time in His presence. Sit and soak Him in. Let Him love you. Let Him heal you. Let Him revive you. We can't just sputter, you know, these little prayers here and there. We have got to spend time in His presence, okay? Without water, seeds die, okay? The next step, step five, is to sow your seeds. And you have to make sure there's enough room between each seed. Now you're prepared for those seeds of faith to be sowed into your life. So these are steps up to getting that seed sown into our life. Right? Because we want to be that good soil, right? We want to bring forth fruit, produce fruit, right? So now we're prepared, right? Our heart is ready to receive, and you know that you know. Get it in your no-no. That those seeds will bring forth fruit. Hopefully, this is where we're at. If you're not in this step right now, then maybe you got to go back and spend some time in His presence wetting your soil. Okay? We're prepared now. Okay? Remember that we will reap what we sow. Okay? Number six. This is a good one. You have to cover the seeds with soil. This is for protection. You have got to protect your seed. Remember, when does Satan come? Immediately. Immediately he comes. And he will try to steal that seed. If you've received a healing, you have to protect that healing. See, I know a lady whose child had gotten healed. They were lame in both their legs, and I don't know from something as a child, and they were lame in both legs, and they went to a healing ministry, and they laid hands on her child, and she said, "I knew at that moment that my child was healed," but she didn't see it right away. And they went back to the house, and she was giving her daughter a bath. And she started letting all this doubt creep in. And she was like, that didn't really happen. And that wasn't for my kid. And all of a sudden this faith wells up in her and she said, "No, I know that my child was healed." And all of a sudden her kid's legs just stretched out. And they stepped up. You have to protect that word that was sown. You have got to protect that seed that was sown. See, if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you are speaking in other tongues, you've got to protect that. Because Satan's going to come at you with doubt. He's going to come at you with unbelief. He's going to come at you with even other Christians saying, "Well, that's not for today." And you're going to start questioning yourself of what God did in you. You're like, "I know God did this in me," but Satan comes immediately and he uses doubt, unbelief, to come at you to try to steal that word that was sown. We have got to protect your seed. If you received a promise, protect it. Protect your seed. That means we must cast off all doubt and disbelief. We must cast off every negative word spoken. We must cast off all fear. And you have to hold on to that word of faith. This has to do, folks, with spiritual warfare. Don't think that you're just going to sit there and say, don't do that, Satan, and he's going to stop. You're going to have to do some warfare. Oh no, Satan, you're not taking my dreams. Oh no, Satan, you're not taking my kid. You're not taking my healing. You're not taking my faith. In Jesus' name, you guys, you got to get serious about your seed. We got to get serious. You want to produce some fruit, you got to protect your seed. Otherwise, it's not going to grow. Amen. I like step number 7. It says, compact the soil. Seeds need good soil, compact to germinate correctly. Now it's telling us to compact that soil to protect your seed even more. This is in the natural, folks. But don't you know that Jesus knew what he was doing when he spoke this parable? Sower goes forth to sow. He knows. He created seeds. Come on now. Satan will lie to you. He will lie to you, folks, because nothing that comes out of Satan's mouth is truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. We have got to protect our seed. Compact it. Folks, this means whatever you have to do, you protect your seed. Whatever you have to do, you have got to protect what was sown inside you. For some of you, that may mean cutting ties from certain people. Thank you, sister. Hello? Oh, but I don't want to have to do that. You don't understand. I'm going to lose all my friends. Well, what are you protecting? Sometimes we have to sever relationships to protect that seed. Sometimes you're going to have to go to ridiculous places to protect that seed. You might have to do something crazy to protect that seed. Folks, our faith is invaluable. And if God has spoken something to you, you protect it until it comes to fruition. You have got to protect that word that was spoken. Otherwise, Satan's going to come and steal it. And then it's gone. You know, I told someone this the other day. You know, prophecy, a word spoken, a word of prophecy, is only good as long as you continue on God's path. Someone said, oh, they spoke this to me. You know, I knew a man that when he was 17, he had a calling into the ministry, and he knew he was called in the ministry. He had people through his whole life confirming his call into the ministry, and now this man is 60 years old, never went into the ministry. He didn't protect his seed. You can live your whole life. Just because a word spoken over you doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. First of all, you got to stay in God's will. Because you get off that path that God has for you, get on another path, well, you just made another plan B. Not that God can't bless plan B, but how many of y'all know if you would have stayed on God's plan, it's so much better, the first plan. Amen? We got to stay, you got to stay in God's will. The word was spoken, you continue on it until God says, now is the time. Pastor Ong said this. He said, just because you haven't seen something come to fruition yet, doesn't mean it's God's will. You keep fighting and praying and moving until you see that promise fulfilled. If it takes 40 years, it takes 40 years. If God has told you you will see the salvation of your children, then you will see the salvation of your children. We don't lose hope. We don't get weary. We keep moving on. You have got to protect that word that is spoken. Whatever that seed is, if it's a vision, if it's a dream, if it's a spoken word, if it's a healing, whatever it is. And I can see some of y'all's faces because I know that God has done something, said something, and you need to protect it. That means not going someplace. That means not going someplace. Okay? Step 8. You have to label the tray. What are you trying to grow? I was like, oh man. God said, add a voice to your faith. Add a voice to your faith. Did y'all know that you can thank God for something He has not yet done? You begin to praise and thank Him for that word He has spoken until it comes to pass. Just because it hasn't come to pass doesn't mean you can't thank Him for it. Hello? Label your tray. What are you believing for? Put a voice to it, because then it makes it real. It's no longer just in here. Man, put a voice to it. If God has said it, He will do it. If God has said He would do it, He will do it. God cannot lie. I had some guy one time write me, I was preaching on that God is truth. I said, God cannot lie. And he wrote me an email and he said, well, you should really say that, you know, God doesn't lie, because there's nothing God can't do. And I said, no, there is something God can't do. He cannot lie. It's not in Him. He is truth. If He was to sit here and say, Pastor Matt, you're a small black woman, boom, He'd be a small black woman. Because He cannot lie. You be beautiful, baby. He cannot lie, folks. If God has spoken to you, it will come to pass. You have got to protect that seed. You've got to hang on to it. I know a woman has spoken her, it was spoken to her that she would see the salvation of her children, and she started getting old in age, and she was like, oh man, I feel like I'm gonna die soon. You know what? She began fasting, and she fasted for 21 days. On the 21st day, her child got saved. She said, God told me, and I am not dying until I see it happen. Come on now. Man. Whew! There is just something about verbalizing your faith that gives it roots. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, man. We need to be speaking life. Right? Be sowing seeds of life. Hallelujah. Man, you tell Satan, Satan, you're a liar. You're a liar and you're a thief and you're not stealing my word. I'm protecting it. Hallelujah. Step 9. Follow growing instructions provided on the packet. The temperature. Listen to this. The temperature. Amount of sunlight and amount of water the seeds need will be detailed on the instructions. We have got to continue to water our seed. Folks, don't cast your pearl before swine. How many of y'all know what that means? Don't share things of God with someone that doesn't know. And maybe they do know, but they don't understand. You know, I know for a lot of you folks this weekend, you spoke in tongues for the first time. Folks, don't be going and sharing that with somebody that doesn't understand the things of God. Because they will rob you of a blessing. I saw a lot of you fall out in the Spirit here, rolling and laughing in the Spirit. That is of God. Did not God just do that? Don't be sharing that with somebody that is a non-believer or doesn't believe in the things of God. They will not understand it. And it says, when you cast your pearl before swine, that they will turn around and bite you. So you need to choose who you share your dreams and visions and seeds with. Don't just go share them with anybody, because they'll bite you. And people bite hard. And it hurts. You know what? And sometimes it can make you really doubt what God has done in your life. Right? Because in that moment, you know that you know that you know. But when Satan comes, immediately, folks, we can be robbed of that blessing. We can be robbed of that seed in an instant if we don't protect it. Okay? Don't cast your pearl before swine. Amen? Once the seed is cultivated, harvested, and love, right, then we will bring forth good fruit. Then we will bring forth good fruit. And when we bring forth good fruit, what's in fruit? More seeds. And we can begin to sow those seeds into other people's lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. What? Let's pray. We want to pray for Pastor Jay, too. He had back surgery today. I don't know. He's alive. Okay. He's alive. Amen. So let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for this word, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are so wonderful and you love us so much, God. Father, I pray for those people tonight, Lord, that need to spend more time in your presence, Father. I pray tonight, Father, that they will begin to seek your face, Father. That they will begin to just spend time in your presence, Father God. Not watching TV, Lord. Not doing these other things that don't matter, Father, but just sitting there and soaking in your presence, Lord. Father, speak to those that need that tonight, Father God, and I pray that they will begin to soak in your presence, Lord. I pray for those that need to water or get the rocks out of their life, Father God. Those people, Father, I pray that you speak to them specifically about those rocks that you want removed out of their life, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to remove those rocks, Father God. Help us to sever those things that would stop our faith from flowing, Father God. Lord, we come against unbelief. We come against doubt and fear in the name of Jesus, and we cast it away, God. Lord, and we come before you tonight, Father. We commit, God, that we want to go deeper, Lord. We want to go deeper, Father God. And so we're asking you, Lord, to remove those things that would hinder us from going deeper, Father God. Show us how we can go deeper in knowing you and knowing your ways, Father. And I pray that everyone here, God, would bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God, Father God. Lord, we commit this time unto you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. God, you are so good, so glorious, so merciful, Father. And we just love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.